Hola, hola. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres, aka Financially Savvy Latina, interviews with self-made millionaires, the tips, the tricks, and tribulations. Today, I have the honor of interviewing, you've probably seen her as seen on TV, or HSN, or Univision, NBC, and I'm sure from her infomercial, and probably one of her inventions that you've probably purchased at all of the Michael stores, and her list goes on and on, which you can check out the website at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. Today we have, she is building an empire, and obviously you could see her everywhere. We have Norma Rapko. Please, Rapko, am I saying it wrong?
Rapko.
Norma Rapko, thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me, Natalie. I'm such an honor to be with you, and I love what you're doing too. It's amazing. And financial literacy for our youth is incredibly important at this time, more than ever. Thank you for doing the beautiful work that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Obviously, I feel like gravitate to women. I gravitate to people that are doing amazing things in our community. So I appreciate that as well. So let's get into the nitty gritty of things since we have 20 minutes. The first question I'd like to ask you is, when was the first time you either got paid by check or cash that made you think differently of maybe working for someone else isn't the best route for you?
Well, I have a couple of incidences, but one, I grew up in my grandparents' sewing factory when I was a little girl. My grandparents came over, my family came over as immigrants. I was the first born American in the country. I was the green card, so I would fall under what would be a dreamer right now. Anyway,
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes. So I would go to my grandparents' sewing factory because they immediately became entrepreneurs as soon as they came over. They weren't going to work for somebody else, and they figured out the system on how to do it for themselves. So my grandfather used to pull me out of school when I was 10 years old and take me downtown LA to the contracting companies so that I could negotiate the contracts and the deals for them, because he was illiterate and didn't speak English. So I was the only translator in the family at 10 years old. So for me, watching transactions go down, big sums of money back then, and you know, they would hand my grandfather this check for, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. I'd go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee out of it. But I began to understand early on that they had power because they were self-employed and they had some kind of control over what they were doing with their lives. That I did understand.
And you got that at an early age, which is incredible, because a lot of people don't learn that into way later in life and make the mistake of not starting a business on your own. So when did you feel that was something just for you? You got maybe that check or that first payment of your own creation.
Well, I started, I didn't follow through with a higher education just under different circumstances, but I ended up getting married, and at 24 years old, realizing the importance of, you know, having the freedom to be able to be a stay-at-home mom. I was pregnant at the time, and my husband and I did not want our children raised by someone else. So I was home and I was making beautiful things. I've always been creative and have like kind of like a really big interest in making things. So I ended up making picture frames for my house and painting them and adding all kinds of, you know, elements to them and just embellishing them in really beautiful ways. And I went to the park at a craft fair. I took out a little space. I paid for the space. I showed up with my product. And in 2 days, I had made $3,000. I realized then the power, having been a receptionist before and having worked retail and having worked all these different multitude of jobs that I was putting in all these hours, and I didn't like that. I had no interest in pursuing any of it. And so it really gave me that sense of like, wow, I can be in control of my time yet make money on my own.
Yes. And you being able to, you're capitalizing on this short time that you have. You said you're a new mom, you're obviously now taking care of your family. You wanted to make sure you're using your time wisely instead of working for someone else 40, 60 hours a week and not creating something as an outlet. For people that are listening, they're probably thinking if they want to start a business or if they should start or continue the business that they have. What advice would you give them as far as you know, not giving up. We always hear that cliche, but were there times where you wanted to give up, but what made you move forward and obviously be the success that you are today?
Oh my gosh. I always wanted to give up. It's not easy. But when you're passionate about what you're doing and you love what you're doing and you have a goal and you understand your why, that's going to make all the difference. I had times when I would show up to places and I wouldn't sell one thing. And I would drive home. I remember like crying and thinking like, okay, do I give it up? Is God, is this where you want me to stop? Or what do I do? Or, you know, just thinking like, okay, what did I do wrong? And what I would do is go home, reassess, look at what I was doing and just realizing maybe it wasn't my target market and it wasn't this and it wasn't that. And so just trying to figure it out. But most importantly, I kept showing up. I kept doing it. I've been doing my business for, I don't know, over 15 years now. So what people see now is just an accumulation of all the tiny little steps that I did in order to arrive, I guess, if you would say, at an HSN now.
Oh, I like how you just said that. There was a trial and error for you. You said there was days when you didn't sell anything and you really probably, those are the best days that you're like, I'm going to quit. This is not for me. But you just said, you just figured out, oh, I was in the wrong market or it was the wrong audience for me to sell this to. And obviously you managed to keep working at it. And 15 years later, you've been through the bad and the good economy and figuring out what works best for you, right?
Absolutely.
And you probably got connected with so many other people that were doing well in their business that you managed to learn from them as well. You've been on so many shows. You've been on many panels and people always asking you for your advice. You also invented not only a creation of your own, how many people can actually say they've invented and gotten a patent? That process alone, do you feel you can share with the people, the listeners, thinking that's something you probably thought you could have never done and now you have? Or
I mean, I'm going to be completely honest with you. As a 24-year-old standing at my booth in the park, had someone came to me and said, you are going to be a published author. You're going to be an inventor. You're going to be the national spokesperson for your product line. You're going to have an infomercial on television and your products are going to be sold nationwide and maybe worldwide. I would have never have believed it. I didn't have that kind of foresight or that kind of confidence at the time, nor did I have the knowledge. I mean, I'm going to be brutally honest. I didn't have the opportunity to graduate high school. So I was looking at myself like, I don't have the tools. Yeah. I don't have what that would take. But you know what? Along the journey, I met the most incredible people that said, you can do it and you will do it. And your work ethic and your perseverance and your discipline and what you have to offer is everything that you need in order to succeed.
Wow, I wish you guys could see what I'm seeing and feeling. We're getting teary-eyed, and I don't know if you could tell that, but this is why it needs to be on video as well. But just hearing you say that, it's one of the questions I was like, what would you tell yourself if you were younger? But you just said it, that there's no way you could have believed it. And it's an inspiration to me and those that are listening, because we probably go through that, and we'll go through that every day thinking like, what's ahead? What lies ahead? And you are obviously not afraid to still figure it out and venture and moving forward. And obviously we're both getting teary-eyed about this, because you just said you met people that have helped you along the way too. But most importantly, it sounds like you really believed in yourself. And I think that's something we always struggle with, but it's like you just said, it's a continuation thing.
Yeah, it's a continual growth. What I think the most important part about my journey, and it still is I stayed curious. I wanted to learn and I wanted to do the best that I could possibly do. And I wanted to be the best that I could possibly be for myself.
Yes.
And so I believe having not graduated, and I know because my business coach said this to me, that in a way that propelled me even further, because I was hungry, I wanted it. And so I stayed on course even when things got really difficult, because I didn't want to quit at it, because I had felt like I had quit before. And so I learned my own lesson in what showing up can do for you.
Yes. And you said a business coach. So that's something that happens to deal with a lot with the financial side of it. So you've probably gotten many advice from your business coach and others. What's the best money advice you've received with your business?
Look at your numbers every single day. Look at your numbers. Look at what the numbers are doing. Look at where your numbers are going. What are the numbers telling you? Because the numbers don't lie. The numbers will tell you what is happening.
So you're really involved, and you're not just having someone do all the checks, and you're actually really involved with your business.
Yes. I was always involved. My husband and I were partners, and my husband, he is very savvy financially, so he would help a lot with the numbers. But then in the most recent years, I've taken over, and so I'm in control of the numbers, and I'm looking at the numbers, and I'm looking at what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. It gets you really clear on where you should, how you should be moving and where you should be spending the money in your business and what you need to be doing, focusing on.
I've learned that a lot from you as far as you manage to pick what areas you're going to spend money in, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your home. Those of us that follow you and know you, you are a thrifty person. You manage to do those finds. Do you think that's something, an advice you want to give other people, saying how you shop, how you build your business?
My husband taught me how to be very frugal. I was not a frugal girl when I married him. And what I learned was I became really conscious and really thrifty. Like, for example, I shop a lot at the thrift stores. I love to upcycle. In fact, that was one of the beautiful things about my business. My business was about upcycling. I was taking old windows that nobody wanted, and I was creating a new use for them and turning them into beautiful, like home decor products and art products. Brilliant. And so I was making money from upcycling things, from reusing and repurposing, which is really important in our society today. So yes, I'm a big like antique person. As in fact, the chair Natalie is sitting on was gifted to me from my sister-in-law, and I love it. It was somebody else's. It has like history to it. Not only that, the craftsmanship from those times we don't get anymore. But I learned how to make something that looked like maybe it was somebody else's trash spectacular. And if you come into my home, the majority of the things in my home are upcycled, reused. They're things that people gift me. In fact, Natalie showed up at my doorstep today with a little step stool because she thought I would like it. I'm going to do something fun with it.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, so being frugal in your life, gosh, there's so many stories I can't even get into, but that's
why we'd love to have you back. But I think you're hitting the point, because I think there's that misconception that bling bling and the big things in life are what makes people successful and makes them millionaires. And that's not the truth. Is you saying you're starting off frugal. I like you said frugal, because that is a true word, especially when it comes to financial literacy. But it's you manage to pick those things that you can make beautiful. It's created the business that you have. You come up with those inventions. If you can share, how did you come up with creating an invention, first of all?
So with the products that we were creating, we were embellishing picture frames, candles, home decor stuff. I mean, just albums, everything. And we were adding crystals, bling, to everything. And because we were manufacturing and we were doing all the artwork by hand in-house and selling to hundreds of stores nationwide, time was of the essence. And that was time consuming. And so it was costing us money. And I came up with the idea and mentioned it to my husband one day. And he said, that's absolutely, totally doable. And in between there, we ended up, I was wanting to write a craft book and start that kind of avenue for myself. And so what I did was I contacted one of the top book agents in the country, and she signed me on. And 6 months later, I had my first book deal. But when she came out to do the photo shoot and the styling for my book, which I did, by the way,
beautiful.
And I had shared with her about my ideas and what I was working on for the invention. And she really encouraged me to pursue it because she was working already in that industry and knew that nothing existed. So this is a key factor, like, is getting people that believe in you on your side and on your team, because you want that energy and that flow and that that camaraderie to be able to share with somebody who's inspiring you and empowering you, who's smarter than you, who can feed into your life, because it's almost like they're going to carry you with, you're going to carry through with them. And so it was just an incredible journey, that invention.
Wow. And you obviously created multiple streams of passive income. You have the book, you have the invention, you have your real estate, you have your studio, which is amazing. All these things that you've created along the way. Is there any mistakes that you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I would have known, and hopefully someone can be like, oh, I'm falling into that trap. What should I stay away from when it comes to, you know, now maybe not just money advice, but maybe you just said you do a lot of partnerships, you do a lot of collaborations.
I do. Gosh, what some of the things that I learned that are like, yikes.
The truth, right?
I learned a lot. Having gone into business like green, I would say the biggest mistake is just really pay attention how you're spending your money. I mean, there's a lot of tools out there right now for us that are available on social media, you know, marketing. Pick the points that you are the best at. Like, what are your absolute best qualities? And go with those. And then whatever you lack, pay for that service. Because if you can market yourself, like if you're a fabulous writer, which by the way, I'm a horrible writer. And so we spend money on writing content and writing, you know, things that need to be written, because that's not my strong suit. I can show up on television and I can demo the product and I'm the creator and I can create product, but that's not my strong suit. So pick and choose very clearly by way of your expertise and what you're good at, because it's going to save you time and money in the long run. And also, we're all connected. We all have friends and family who know somebody. Go out there and ask. Don't be afraid to ask.
You just said that earlier. You cold call a lot of people. You reach out constantly. And I think most people are afraid to not only do that because of the rejection, which is part of business, which is part of just life, getting what you want. Mm-hmm. Is there something, any new projects that you're working on that you've been in the mix or you're trying to cold call them? Is there anything that as far as that you want to share with people?
There is always stuff in the mix. I mean, there's always things going on. There's always either something with TV going on in the works or talks, or there's something like with a show or speaking engagements, or, and even at the capacity or the level that I'm working on, whatever you want to call it. Of course, there's those barriers for all of us. Like I don't think there's ever going to be a day where I'm 150% comfortable just calling whoever, whenever. And you know, that's always, with the fear side of it, I always say, do something that scares you every single day, something small, because what that does is you're basically working your fear muscle. And you're also get into situations where you have to hear no. Like, it's almost like fishing for no's is what my business coach taught me, which I absolutely love. Her name's Alicia Marie. I'm so grateful for her. But she taught me to go fishing for no's. And what that did was it got me used to hearing the no, but then it also got me into thinking about, why is it a no? Is it a no, not right now? Is it a no, the timing's not okay? Is it a no, it's not you? Is it a no, your product's not right? Why is it a no? Because once you start asking those questions and not just looking at it as rejection, there is valuable information to be had from a no.
That's excellent advice. Fishing for the no's. We need that. And one more thing I wanted to ask you is if there is actually two more things. One, you should have your own video, your own show. I'm thinking Fixer Upper. If you guys cannot see her studio, it's amazing. She could be the next Chip and Joanne. You know, because it's people need to see you're constantly creating all different types of new, not just art and jewelry, but literally inventions. There does definitely needs to be one. But is there any books that you recommend to people that have either changed their life, either whether business, personal, that you recommend, especially this is financially savvy, but anything that you feel has really helped you in your business?
I've read tons of books, but I'm going to rattle off a couple to you guys. One of my mentors was Nell Merlino, and Nell Merlino is a phenomenal women's rights activist, but she started what was called Count Me In, which was a pitching competition.
How we met.
That's how we met. And we were some of the winners of that program. And that program took me to extraordinary, just it opened a million doors for me. But her book is called Stepping Out of Line by Nell Merlino. I also read By Invitation Only by the girls who started, I think it's Alexandra.
We can put it on the website.
Yeah, the girls who started the Guilt Company and how they started it. Amazing story. I also liked Simon Sisnek's Start With Why. Yes. Because Simon really talks about the core of your purpose. And when we don't have purpose, it's really difficult to stay in business, because then you're not really in it because it's a piece or a part of you or it's a calling. Then you're in it for different reasons, and it may not, you know, be what you want it to be. Another book is by Gary Vaynerchuk, who is out there right now. He's really big on social media, and a lot of you have probably heard him, but his first book was called Crush It. And I got my hands on it when it first came out. And I used to listen to Gary when he was talking to Wine Lab still on the computer and just chitter-chatting at night talking about wine. But that had a lot of really great information too, of just like, don't look back, be who you are, and get out there and do it. Another one, the last one that I recently read that I absolutely love from a creative standpoint, but also turning my creativity into a business, is Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic.
Love it. Yes.
She really talks about, you know, the letting go of the financial burden on your creativity and how that really stifles it. So, you know, it's just been a wealth of information, but those are some of the ones that off the bat I can think about.
Excellent recommendations. I'm sure everyone's getting ready to read those. Is there a best way that we can reach you, or where should we contact you?
Yeah, you guys can follow me at normarapko.com. And we're on all social media. I'm on Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn. You know, the only one I've like have issues with is Twitter. I haven't gotten the hang of Twitter.
We'll get through that one.
Yes.
Well, we'd love to have you back, because I'm sure we can keep talking about so many different areas and continue this conversation alone on business. I know so many people want more. So stay tuned and definitely check out her bio, her website on our website as well, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. Once again, thank you for being here. We look forward to having you again.
Oh, and thank you for having me. This was a pleasure.